So today, besides all those other things that just happened, it is the beginning of, this is the first Sunday in Lent. So Lent is a 40-day period where we take time to reflect, look at ourselves, look at how we are measuring up in our attempts to follow Jesus, in our attempts to be what God is calling us to be. It's a time, 40 days we mark from Easter Sunday and we go back to Ash Wednesday, not counting the Sundays. It's kind of confusing, but Ash Wednesday was last Wednesday, so we're right in the middle of Lent. And one of the reasons why we mark off these 40 days comes from this story that we're going to read in the Gospel of Luke, of Jesus being tested in the wilderness for 40 days. It's in Luke 4, the first 13 verses. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. May the Lord grant us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, 2 weeks ago, Steve packed a couple sermons into one sermon period of time. I feel like I have about three that I need to try to get in here. So I'm trying to eliminate some of that in my head. But there's one thing I feel like I need to say about this story. And it comes from kind of our context and our culture. When we read about one person alone in a desert, it strikes all these chords with us about our own kind of rugged individualism, right? About how we as individuals have to overcome all of these things, and it's about us, and we can make it out of whatever, you know, situation as these, you know, as strong people. And the story, in a way, lends itself to that because we know that Jesus is this completely unique individual who does something that no one else could do. He passed all these tests the way that the people of Israel couldn't pass these tests, and he does that. But this story, I want us to note that the story is not about being alone as much as it's about what's going on inside of Jesus. It's more about inwardness than it is about aloneness. And I hope that that will make sense as we go through, but just kind of keep that idea in your mind, because what the story is really about is about Jesus having this spirit of faithfulness. There's this point that he has to make decisions, and it's his willingness each time to listen to what God is calling him to and to not listen to what those forces antithetical to God are calling him to do. So in each moment, it's listening and willingness to say, "I will follow where God is leading," and a turning away from the other side. So it's about a spirit of faithfulness. And when we look at each one of the tests, we see that it's not about so much this one day after 40 days where Jesus, you know, there's one day he knocks off the 1, 2, 3, he's done, never has to deal with that again, right? Pass all the tests, I'm good. It's more about how those tests show us kind of an example of all the tests that we face in life and how they fit into each of our daily lives. These decisions have to be made. The first one has to do with whether he will turn a stone into bread. Being completely hungry, will he say, boom, your bread, and eat it? And that's more the point. What is the purpose of him turning it to bread? Who is it for? Will he turn the stone into bread just so he can eat it and satisfy his own desires? Is that what the power is for? Is that what he's been gifted with to do, is to make it something happen just so he can consume it for himself? There's another magical process that we all go through. We don't consider it magical anymore, but it did back when it first started. We all have skills and talents and gifts, or luck sometimes, and we use all of that, and somehow we get money for that, and then with that money we buy stuff, right? It's kind of back early on they considered that a magical process, that happened that way. But that's what we do, and the question for us is, to what end? For what purpose? Do we do all of that just to feed our own hunger, our own desire, our own wishes? Or is there a bigger purpose? Is there something else that we're being called to? Is there a reason why we've been blessed with those gifts and skills and abilities, and then been blessed with the money that comes from them, and then been blessed with the things that we get with that money after? Is there a reason why we've been blessed with all of that? Is there a purpose for it? Is there something God is calling us to? And are we willing to listen to what God is calling us to do and ignore what others are calling us to do and what the world is asking us to do with it? The second test, Jesus is asked, Jesus has shown all of the kingdoms of the world, and he's offered all authority, and all he has to do is bow down to the devil and worship him, right? And he'll be given all this authority. The first thing I think we should notice is that there's a little bit of allegory in this story, right? It's not about if you're walking along the street one day and a big red creature jumps up with a pitchfork and a tail and says, bow down to me, and you say, no, and you run to church and sing songs, right? That's not exactly how that test is going to go. It's a little bit different test than that, right? It's about who you serve, who you worship. It's about what you're willing the character of how you use your influence and power. That's what it's more about. It's about, are you willing to be dominated by the desire for more status, more influence, and then use that to dominate others? Or are you seeking to be empowered by God and use that to empower others? Is it about self-service? Is it about selfishness? Or is it about finding ways to serve? Because if we look at Jesus throughout later in his life, as he's about to go into Jerusalem, it's that moment when we decide, when everyone gets to see what kind of ruler, what kind of king this is. And his disciples are all around him, and he says, look, all these other people and all these other ways that people are kings and lords, what they do is they lord it over everybody else. They demand that you do this, and they use it for their own glory and their own self-aggrandizement. But that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, the greatest one will be the one who serves. The greatest one will be the one who's willing to give their life in service to others. The last test, he's taken up to the pinnacle of the temple. And the devil is smart, because the devil recognizes that Jesus realizes that he's been called to something special. That he just came out of the waters of his baptism. He knows that he's got something to do. He's got a vocation. He's been given something to do in this world. And so the devil uses that to say, hey, you're doing pretty good so far. You must be really blessed, you know. In fact, I bet you're so blessed that if you jumped off here, God would come and save you real quick. Because he wouldn't want to let you get hurt because you're so special. Jesus says, you don't put the Lord your God to the test. But part of that, what's happening there, what's happening in that question is, what are you going to do with the power and influence you have, and what are you willing to do to get more of it? I don't want to go off on too far on this, but, you know, we're in the middle of presidential stuff right now, and the question that keeps coming to me out of this text for those people is, what is the power and influence for? You know, what is it for? Is it just to gather as many people around you to make you look good and to give you power to make, you know, are you willing to do anything at all to be in a place where you have the power and the influence for your own sake? Is that what it's about? Jesus would say, that's not what it's about. It's about choosing a right way or a wrong way to do things. Do we cut corners to make it easier? Do we find ways to get more and have more for ourselves, making it easy on ourselves, even though we know that there's probably a harder way to go that would be helpful to more and more people? Jesus over and over again shows a spirit of faithfulness, shows that he knows that there is a higher calling, that it's about service more than it is about selfish gain, that it's about using what we have and what we've been gifted with and what we're called to be a blessing to others. But it's not about doing it alone. Look at verse 1. It says that Jesus is full of the Spirit. And in the text it says he's full of the Spirit and he's in the Spirit in the wilderness. That's exactly how it says it in the Greek. All the time he's in the wilderness, that whole time he's in the Spirit. He's full of Spirit. So he's not alone. His spirit of faithfulness is encouraged, is brought on, is brought about by the faithful Spirit of God filling him up, and you can almost imagine enclosing him. He's in the Spirit. It's around him. Why is that important for us? That's important for us because as we try to live out what we're called to be as Christians, as we face tests every day about whether we're going to be faithful to God or be listening to what the world tells us to do, we must recognize that we, as Christians, have been filled with the Spirit. The same Spirit of faithfulness that Jesus had has been given to us. That same Spirit surrounds us, leads us, guides us, protects us as we move through this Lenten period, as we move through the rest of our lives trying to be faithful to what God is calling us to do. Because it's not easy, right? It's not easy. There's a cross is before the end of the story, right? There's a cross there. It's not an easy task. So not only have we been given the Holy Spirit, but Luke is the author that gives us the book of Acts, that shows us that the Spirit keeps moving into the church. So what we're also given, we're given each other. We're given the Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we do the benediction, do you hear that? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What that means for us is that all these people here, filled with a Spirit, trying to be faithful to Jesus and to what God is calling us to, and we're called together to carry each other, to pull each other, to hold each other as we're doing that. So we're not alone in it. God is with us here, helping us to move through this time of making decisions, opening ourselves to what God is calling us to. Even if that means opening ourselves to troubles and problems that might come from the world. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank You for Your Spirit that fills us, that brings us together, that leads us and guides us. We ask for You to give us more and more a spirit of faithfulness to You. Help us to learn Your ways, to hear Your voice calling us, and to make the hard decisions to be Your people in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.